Okay, Anna, please, English.
Good morning. I'm going to be reading John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10 on the back of the program in English. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly."
ヨハネによる福音書10章1節から10節をお読みします。まことにまことにあなた方に告げます、羊の囲いに門から入らないで他のところを乗り越えてくる者は盗人で強盗です。しかし門から入る者はその羊の牧者です。門番は彼のために開き、羊はその声を聞き分けます。彼は自分の羊をその名で呼んで連れ出します。彼は自分の羊を皆引き出すと、その先頭に立っていきます。すると羊は彼の声を知っているので彼についていきます。しかし他の人には決してついていきません。かえってその人から逃げ出します。その人たちの声を知らないからです。イエスはこの例えを彼らにお話になったが、彼らはイエスの話されたことが何のことかよくわからなかった。そこでイエスはまた言われた、まことにまことにあなた方に告げます、私は羊の門です。私の前に来た者は皆盗人で強盗です。羊は彼の言うことを聞かなかったのです。私は門です。誰でも私を通って入るなら救われます。また安らかに出入りし牧草を見つけます。盗人が来るのはただ盗んだり殺したり滅ぼしたりするだけのためです。私が来たのは羊が命を得、またそれを豊かに持つためです。
Good morning again.
Good morning.
It's good to see all of you here. And thank you for joining us this Sunday. Today we're looking at the Good Shepherd, Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And this is a two-part series. Next week we'll talk about the Idol Shepherd, I-D-O-L, not doing anything, but Idol Shepherd, the wolf, and also the hired hand. But this week we're looking at the Good Shepherd. Now, for those of us who have not been raised in, a Jewish background, the Good Shepherd probably doesn't evoke a lot of emotions to you. However, in this context, it evokes so much emotion that at the end of his teaching, many of them said, he has a demon in him, he's insane. While others said, An insane man, can a demon-possessed man open the eyes of the blind? And so this has a greater context. In the context is Jesus just opened the eyes of a man that was born blind. And after that, he taught the importance of not just physically seeing, but of spiritual blindness. Now here, Jesus begins to give us another analogy of who he is, the good shepherd. But before we get into that, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your goodness. You are the good shepherd. You are a good God. Your goodness has no bounds, Lord. Your love is extravagant. You lavish us with your love, your perfect love. We thank you so much for today, that we could gather here. Holy Spirit, we invite you and we ask that you would open our eyes and ears, give us wisdom and understanding. We ask that your presence will fill this place. We command any unclean and foul spirit to get out of here in Jesus' name. You are not welcomed here. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I've been practicing, if your eyes were open, I've been practicing praying with my eyes open. Just for your FYI. Do you guys want to know why?
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, Jesus, I don't think Jesus ever closed his eyes when he prayed. The posture they show Jesus when he prayed is he looked up into heaven and prayed. He didn't look up and close his eyes. And so I don't know where it started, where people started closing their eyes. But it didn't originate from the Bible, I don't think, in my opinion. But, you know, for the longest time, I prayed with my eyes closed because that's how I was taught to pray. I'm sure that's how you were taught to pray, yes? No? Anyone else taught differently? Perhaps if you were born in or doing missionary work in China, they actually tell you to pray with your eyes open, especially before a meal, because you're not supposed to be seen, I guess, praying in public or something of that nature. But, you know, when we're doing this study about spiritual blindness, a lot of times as I read people's encounters, spiritual encounters, they talk about spiritual encounters coming when their eyes are opened, not necessarily closed. And what they see in the spirit, they'll say it's superimposed on reality. You guys ever hear stuff like that? No? You guys think I'm crazy? That's okay. I am kind of out there. But it's superimposed. And so if I have my eyes closed, I can't see superimposed things. I could certainly try to see with the eyes of my heart with my eyes closed. But it seems like in the spirit realm, when they do interact with us in our dimension, that it's not necessarily our eyes have to be closed, but when our eyes are open, we can also see spiritually. Does that make any sense? Did I communicate? One person. Thank you, Carissa. Thank you. It made sense. We're connecting right here. That's awesome. But the Good Shepherd, Jesus, in the context, he's talking about spiritual blindness. And he gives this analogy of a Good Shepherd. Now, this is an interesting analogy here, the Good Shepherd. Before I get into the scripture reading, I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself, if that's okay. So, I was not always Christian. I became Christian when I was about 19. Second year of my freshman year in college, became Christian. And as a newborn Christian, you know, you try to grow really fast, you're reading the Bible, you're praying, you're going to every meeting you go to, and I thought I was pretty spiritually there, you know what I mean? As a new Christian, you just, I don't know, that's just how I felt. There was one day, I distinctly remember this, a leader asked me, I don't know why he asked me this question. He said, "Hey, Aki, what do you think about people who smoke?" And I said to him, without hesitating, without even blinking an eye, I said, "They're going to hell." Yeah. No joke. That's how I felt. No hesitation. And he said, "Well, what if he was Christian?" I said, "A Christian wouldn't smoke." And I left. And that was it. That was the end of the conversation. I didn't know that dude smoked. He smoked. And you know, if you're smoking and you're in church, you probably don't smoke near church. That's how that works. I understand. If you smoke, that's fine. I've changed since then. Praise God. You wouldn't have liked, maybe you would have, but you might have not liked old Aki. He was very zealous, gotta tell you, very zealous. Told everyone about Christ, but I think he misrepresented him in a lot of ways. Not that I represent him accurately now, but looking back, I just see my zealous, but also a lot of pride in my zeal. I thought I knew it all. I was reading the Bible every day. Read at least 5 chapters. Heck, I wasn't just reading the Bible, I was writing the Bible out. Just in case there will be a day where the government would take all the Bibles. There would be a handwritten copy of it. I didn't get too far. I mean, I probably wrote more than you guys, but I didn't get too far. But that's just the kind of person I was. Since then, the Lord has been leading me and teaching me. And from, I guess, if you want to give an analogy, from wineskin to wineskin to wineskin, he's been leading me and guiding me, taking me out of my old religious ways and into greater freedom. And that's sort of the way the Lord works. You see that all throughout Scripture. These are, in the Bible, called types and shadows. I believe Colossians, Paul talks about types and shadows. Types are more like archetypes in our culture. Shadows are a little bit different. We won't get into shadows, but they're kind of like why there's the book of Leviticus. Those are just shadows of the reality. The reality of it is so much more beautiful than what the shadow is. But types, archetypes, we see archetypes all the time. Whether you're in church or out of church, it's just a thing. In fact, some even say in science, you see a lot of archetypes, self-replicating things. That what you see in the microscope, you can also see in the cosmos, and it's so dang mind-blowing to some of these people that it's hard to deny a creator. Right. Yeah. Something like a self-replicating tetrahedron or something like that. I don't know. But you see that in the Bible as well. The motive archetype of a shepherd you see throughout Scripture. In fact, you see it in Genesis. The story of Cain and Abel. Abel was a shepherd. He kept the flock. The story of Abraham. Abraham was a shepherd. Moses, when he ran away from the Pharaoh, he became a shepherd. And a lot of the church fathers, patriarchs, were shepherds. David, the king, the greatest king of Israel, shepherd. You see, the prophets, when they prophesy using shepherd analogy. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. And so, you can only imagine in the Jewish context, the shepherd motive was very special. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The one the Old Testament have been prophesying about. That is me. And so after this teaching, the people were divided. They're saying, this guy is demon-possessed. Crazy. And some people were saying, no. A demon-possessed man could not open the eyes of the blind. So let's take a look at what he says. Truly, truly, this is verse 1. I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. If you don't know much about shepherding, like most of us, we probably don't. The way shepherds lead their flock is they'll probably sing. They'll sing a song, And the sheep, literally, they know their shepherd's voice, and so they follow the shepherd. My father-in-law, he bought some sheep. And before he feeds the sheep, he calls out the sheep. Here, sheep, 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 come out. Something like that. He's from Minnesota. That's my Minnesota accent. Here, sheep, 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 sheep. And they come out. They know his voice. And so I tried it myself. I tried to imitate my father-in-law's voice with his permission and try to get the sheep to come out. They didn't come out. I think two of them came out. Two of them thought I was sinning. But that's just the way shepherds and sheep, that's their relationship. They actually talk, call their names, sing, and they'll follow the shepherd's voice. There was a story where a man was looking down, and he didn't know this, but two shepherds were crossing paths with their sheep, with their flock. And as they were crossing paths, the guy that was watching was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a mess. How are they going to tell which sheep is which? But as they crossed paths and they intermingled, they continued to follow their shepherd because they could know by the shepherd's voice. They're not going necessarily by sight, it's by sound. But here Jesus is saying, my sheep know my voice and I lead them out. Now here, Jesus gives this analogy of taking his sheep out of the sheep pen because something interesting was happening. So in Jesus' circle, if you will, the leaders began to chase anybody out of the synagogue that would say Jesus is the Messiah. They would chase them out of the synagogue. And so there was this dichotomy, this break. If you think Jesus is the Savior, you're out. You're out of the synagogue. Go find somewhere else to worship. And so Jesus brings this analogy, metaphor. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I am leading people out of my sheep pen. Now here, a lot of people may think a sheep pen represents heaven, but it does not. Not in this first verse here. First couple of verses. The sheep pen, or the sheepfold, whichever your translation may say, the sheepfold, was actually a communal place where all the shepherds would bring their sheep in. And then they'll close the door, so that no thieves, robbers, wolves, bears, whatever, would come in and steal the sheep. It was a communal pen. And then in the morning, the shepherd would come in and call his own sheep out of the sheep pen. And then the other shepherds would come in and call their sheep out. And so it was this community sheep pen, sheepfold, that Jesus is saying, I am coming here and getting my sheep out. Not heaven. Jesus isn't leading people out of heaven. He's leading people into heaven. Amen? All right. Okay, now, am I in the right place? Is this a Christian? Okay. So Jesus is not leading people out of heaven. He's leading people in, right? Amen. It's a good place to say amen. So where is he leading him out? What does the sheep pen represent?
The world.
The world. More specifically, it represents Judaism. It represents the old religious system of Israel. And is actually leading them out of that. And so that dichotomy is real. Because even though what it seems like, excuse me, what it seems like the religious leaders are kicking the followers of Jesus out, that's actually what God is doing. He's leading people out of that system. That system, that sheepfold, was meant to protect the sheep until the good shepherd came, and the good shepherd is here now to lead them out. And this is why Jesus says, I'm leading them out. Now he gives three important qualities about himself that authenticates him as the good shepherd, because there has been many people that try to lead them out of Judaism prior to Jesus, which was the thieves and the robbers. But the reason why they could trust Jesus as the good shepherd is this. He says, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He did not try to climb over some other way, but he went in the right way. He fulfilled everything there was to being a good Jewish man. Perfect. He fulfilled it. He didn't try to come some other way. In terms of fulfilling Judaism, he fulfilled it to the T. Two, it says in verse 3, to him the gatekeeper opens the sheep. The gatekeeper opens. To him the gatekeeper opens. And the sheep follow him. The gatekeeper is actually John the Baptist. John the Baptist, his testimony about Jesus is so important. Because everyone in Judea and Israel, when they saw John the Baptist's ministry, they authenticated that that man's ministry is from God. Nobody argued that point. Nobody. And so Jesus is saying, the gatekeeper, when he saw me, he opened the door for me. And John the Baptist does testify that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Two of you. Three, the sheep listen to his voice. The sheep listen to his voice. And the sheep are following Jesus. But the religious leaders, the old guards, are trying to keep that from happening. But Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd. I'm leading them out. See, this is actually a type you see in the Bible all the time. God leading his people out and into something new. God leading his people out of Egypt and into the promised land. God leading Abraham out of Haran and into the promised land. You see that even now. Because this type has not been fully fulfilled. God is going to lead his people out of this world and into the new one. And that's when it will be fulfilled and that's when it stops. See, when it comes to Jewish prophecies, you see a lot of types. And when it's a prophecy of types, it's a little different than a prophecy, a Greek style of prophecy. A Greek style of prophecy is you say something, it's fulfilled, and that's it. But when it comes to types, prophecy in Jewish culture, it continues to repeat itself until it's fulfilled. And so this is actually a type of prophecy where Jesus will continue to lead people out and into the promised land until it is fully fulfilled. And I believe that's going to happen in the millennial kingdom. Or when heaven and earth finally comes together. And some will speculate, oh, is the taking out, is that the rapture? And some will say yes, and some will say no. They'll argue that point. But I do believe there is going to be a taking out and bringing in. And this is the picture Jesus shows. In verse 4 it says, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger. Again, Jesus is telling us that it is time to leave this old system. And those who recognize God's voice are following me out. Just to bring this back into our own context, I shared with you the story of how I used to be someone who would condemn a person to hell just because he had a smoking addiction. I am no longer like that. Even in my own life, and even in your own life, I believe Jesus wants you to take you from glory to glory, from wineskin to wineskin, until you finally reach the full maturity of Christ Jesus. If that is not happening in your life, that's, I don't know how I should say it, but that's probably not a good thing. I believe it is a sign of pride. Man, you should have saw me when I was a younger Christian. Right today, I qualify a lot of my stuff with I believe and my opinion. You guys catch that? I don't know if you catch that, but you know, I'm not very sure of myself. You guys catch that. Man, back then I was so sure, even if I was wrong. It was like, this is how it is kind of thing. Now I'm like, oh, I believe, and some people believe this and that, and you know, there's a lot of belief. Not that I lack conviction, I do have my own conviction. But the older I get, the more I realize that I could be wrong, right? That's part of maturing, that's part of growing up. That's a part of spiritual maturity too. It's called humility. When you know you're not always right, it's called humility. The opposite of that, immaturity, is pride. You think you're always right with everything. I forgot where I was now. I forgot my place. Sorry. That's a good place to stay, though. God hates pride. He despises pride. He disdains pride. One thing that would separate you from God is sin, but pride, oh, he hates pride. But God is so attracted, and he loves the humble. He loves humility. He loves humility. Not being able to go from here to another place is a sign of pride. Not being led by the shepherd, the good shepherd, is a sign of pride. Also a sign of spiritual deafness and blindness. Not being able to move from glory to glory. If you're stuck, if you're the same way you were 20 years ago and you believe everything to the T from 20 years ago, either you were perfect 20 years ago, or there's a little bit of pride there that's preventing you from growing. Again, I'm not saying we shouldn't have deep convictions about certain things, but surely other things God can correct us in. Amen?
Amen.
Just me, you too. Amen. He can correct all of us. So he takes them out of the sheepfold. He takes them out by his voice. And that's how he will lead us. He will take us out through his voice. Learn to listen and hear God's voice. Learn to recognize his voice. He is speaking. In fact, he is speaking to you now. In fact, he is speaking a better sermon than I am now to some of you. Amen. That's the best part of the shepherd. He covers us like that. Verse 6. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." Here, Jesus isn't changing analogies. He's actually going from step to step what a shepherd does. The shepherd leads the sheep out of the sheep pen, and when he leads them out and he doesn't go back to the sheep pen, but stays in the open field, at night what a shepherd will do is he'll find a place, maybe something like this, where there's only one way out, and that one way out is very small, and he himself will sleep there in the doorway. The sheep will be out in here, and he'll sleep right here, and he will literally be the door. The good shepherd will literally be the door of the sheep, so that wolves, robbers, or thieves will not be able to come in. And if the sheep wants to go out, he'll let the sheep out, and he'll lead the sheep back in. And so when he says, "I am the door," he's given us a picture of being in the plain and not going back into the sheep pen. And he is the literal door of these sheep. He puts his life on the line for the sheep. Jesus recognizes that there were thieves and robbers that came before him. That's in verse 8. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. I believe he's referencing the false kings or the evil kings, the false prophets, and even the world, powerful world leaders that came before him and who attempted to get Israel out of Judaism and to become apostate. Jesus here is beginning to show that he is going to make a new covenant. He's doing a new thing with these sheep. No longer Jewish as they knew it, but he is creating a new man. And it says he's dividing the wall between Jews and Gentiles and making a new man. Everyone else who tried to do that before him, they were false shepherds. He himself is not the false shepherd. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. He says, I am the literal door. But spiritually, the significance of that is, I am the gateway in and out to the Father's presence. He uses the shepherd analogy to give us a greater, deeper spiritual truth. And that truth is, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Saved from what? And then he begins to talk about the false shepherd. That will be for next week. There is an idol shepherd that is prophesied about. Most of us, we know him by the title of Antichrist. But he goes by many different names. And Jesus says here, the thief, not a thief, but the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so with that revelation of something in this world that is trying to steal, kill, and destroy you, Jesus makes the distinction that I am here to save you from that person. Not just to save you, but to give you eternal life. Amen. Amen. Jesus here is not mixing words. He is offering each and every one of us salvation from that which will try to kill us. Not just salvation, but protection, nourishment, and abundant life. He truly is the good shepherd. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the good shepherd. Even now, Lord, the thief, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We rebuke the thief in Jesus' name. Amen. No longer will you steal, kill, and destroy.
No.
We are protected by the Good Shepherd. Jesus, we ask for your protection. We ask for your grace, greater grace. Lord, we ask for greater ability to recognize your voice, to hear your voice clearly, to follow you out of the old system and into the greener pastures. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Lead us, Lord, into greener pastures. Bring us, Lord, to streams of living water. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.